October 26th, 2019 session of TeamSpeak for Open HPSDR. My name is Dave, KB0S, and this week I've been, had some tree work done and had to take down my antennas, put them up last week, and, or put them all back this week, during the week, and otherwise, I've been doing a little bit of programming, but still teaching some classes and other taking some time. A lot of grading. Next on the list, Greg ZL3IX, Sean is mic muted. We have Henry PA0HJA, Sean is recording and away. And then we have Mike AAAK, Sean is recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to teamspeakarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, afternoon, evening all. Unfortunately, another very busy week, so nothing to report. Keeping up with emails, though. Responding to an email, someone questioning where the bootloader code is. And I'm just going to the Tapper GitHub site, and as far as I can see, it's all there, so don't quite know what the problem is there, but moving into summer, we've got a 29 degree day and a 34 degree day tomorrow, so starting to warm up. I was actually hoping, Bill is around. I wanted to chat with Bill in a moment, so catch up with later. That's the news from down under, or not very much news from down under, I'm afraid. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business, and next on the list is Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, all. Yeah, good evening. Missed last week. Stupid error on my part and overslept, but oh well. Nothing new to report here. Sort of all work, no radio, unfortunately, but good to hear y'all. And Dave, I did get the picture you sent me, and I gotta go look more up about that tower because that's a somewhat atypical one. So let's see what I can find out about it. But that's it from here.
Well, fine business. And next on the list is Bob VE3GKM. Sean is recording and away. And that brings us to the end of the list. So we're open for general discussion.
Hi, Bill. Back on the doing a bit of visual C sharp code at the moment. And back on a problem you solved for me a very, very long time ago. And that is cross threading. And I know you did me send me a very simple example of how to overcome cross-threading. I'm just trying to find it on my PC, but awful lot of files on the PC since then. But anyway, that's what we're working on at the moment.
Cross-threading, what, multiple threads, or?
Well, I've got a form, and then I've got another process running, which isn't on the same thread as the form. So the compiler complains about cross-threading error.
I sent you a fix for this somewhere. Was it by email, perhaps, I wonder?
Yeah, I think it pretty was, but I'm just doing a search. I think it was called cross-threading demo. It was only about, you know, there was a few lines of code, but it was sort of a light bulb moment went on, but I haven't done any C-sharp coding for an awful long time, so I can't find it, but it'll turn up.
Okay, well, pack rat that I am, I have every email I've sent in the last 20 years, so maybe I can find it here.
Okay, it was a cross-threading example. It's on your name /temp cross-thread demo.zip.
Temp. I wonder where the hell that was.
I think I've got it.
Okay, that's good, because I wouldn't have been a temp directory on my machine. My temp directory's name is Scratch.
No, it's here. Thanks, Bill. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, happy to be helpful in the past.
10 years ago, Bill.
Yeah, son of a bitch, here's the file, cross-thread-demo.zip. It's in the Scratch directory. I'll be damned.
I just wonder if it'll... I'll just load it and see if it'll run under the latest version of Visual Studio.
This thing really is 10 years old, isn't it? Oh my god. So, Dave, that tower picture you sent me is unusual because it's it looks like it's not a relay station. It looks like it's terminal. It also looks like it does not. It never had, at least the platform doesn't appear to be on it for the rectangular horns you usually saw at the top. So I'm sort of betting that that was a tower that went up late in the AT&T's microwave system.
That's quite possible. The main link across the state is further south by maybe 70 miles. This was a link that went out as a spur to the north and didn't continue anywhere further on.
Okay. It's interesting that there's still waveguide to that one circular horn on it. I wonder, is there any possibility, I wonder if that thing's still in use?
I believe it is. I was talking to Dave Witten about it, and he thought that it was still being used. It's been there, well, as long as either he or I can remember it being there, and I first came to town in the mid-70s, so it was apparently part of the telecommunication system, but I'm not sure much more than that. I haven't focused on, it's always been there, and I hadn't focused on it till you started talking about these towers.
Yeah, be careful, it can become an obsession, but yeah, I have to go look and see. I wonder, because I have run into, a couple in Houston and a couple over in New Mexico that looked like they might still be active. In other words, they still had a waveguide on some of those horns. And, the sites looked like they were still still active for telephony. So it interesting. I wonder, I have to go look, because I don't know that those things ever went digital that I knew of, but the knowledge of the history of that thing is, or the end life history of it's not that good.
Yeah. So I don't know much about it. I haven't talked to anybody that's worked at the site, so I don't know that. I do know a number of commercial radio men that are also hams, and they know a lot about the history around our town, but I don't know of anybody that actually worked there.
Okay, well, thanks for the picture. Neat to get it, and I'll have to add it to my collection. I have to get my collection up on the web at some point and start writing down what I remember about these things before I forget it.
Well, and also, that picture I sent you was geostamped, so you have the exact location in the EXIF. And also, the road between where I was standing and the site is Interstate 70.
Okay. Yeah, the geo stamp should lock it in pretty good.
Well, Bill, I had to convert it to the latest version of Visual Studio Running, but it works fine.
Okay. Well, hopefully it gets you out of your ditch then.
There's a Microsoft explanation of how it all works, but it's written for programmers, I think.
Well, you understand what the basic issue is, right?
Yeah, there's two threads running, and the form is on one thread, and the output I'm producing is on another thread, and I can't write to the second object on the form because it's on a different thread. I think that's the problem.
It's basically, I don't think you can. You can only write at the form from the main UI thread, I believe, is the problem.
Yeah, that's exactly what your little demo is. You've got a drop-down box and the text box, and you can't write to the text box, the text box and the drop-down box, because they're on the same thread, and you explain very clearly how to do it. So thanks very much.
Okay, enjoy.
I remember we had this problem with the, it would have been the USB thread in those days. So we had the form and the USB thread were on separate threads. And anyway, Yeah, it's very, very nicely written. Thanks for and lots of explanations. I should be able to follow this without any problem. Thanks, Bill.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a common UI thing where they don't like GUI elements. Well, for I guess historical reasons, are generally not multi-threaded.
I don't remember having this problem with Python.
Python's not really multi-threaded.
No, I'm doing a lot of work with Node.js at the moment, and I'm amazed at the. I remember reading some of the amount of libraries available for Node.js exceeds any other coding environment in the world.
That's a really pathetic reflection on the state of computer science.
Okay.
Well, I will agree that Node.js has a lot of libraries in there.
I just question the sanity of writing significant amounts of code in JavaScript. I mean, we have better ways to do this.
Well, it's basically a process for people who learn to work with browsers and then don't want to learn some other code, so they just carry it with them.
Yes. So, yeah, that's, like I said, we have better ways to do this.
At least it's portable across mobile phone operating systems, which is the big advantage I've got at the moment.
Node.js, well, I guess it is. At least to some degree. You mean between iOS and Android?
Yeah. I must admit, I just started using C# again last night and just writing some code, and the features in the latest free version are amazing. You get an error. You can click on it, and it actually makes suggestions how to fix it. And you can click on the suggestion, and it modifies the code and fixes the problem for you. I mean, it's probably newbie problem for me, but it's very nice.
That encourages the try it and see if it seems to work approach to fixing problems, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's not console-based, I'm afraid, Bill.
No, I just prefer people to understand the problems they're fixing.
Oh, no, he explains it. It actually, it's not just, try this, try this. It explains why, what's wrong and what you need to do to fix it. It's very nice.
Oh, okay. I occasionally run into developers and my team that will, sort of crazy monkeys typing to fix problems. And why do you do this? Well, because it worked. And I said, well, why does it work? And I don't know. I said, okay, well, you're not checking it in.
The other thing is nice, a little graph on the right hand side of the screen which shows you how much CPU is being used and how much memory is being used.
Oh, well, that's useful. But now that I get paged when things go sideways in the middle of the night, I've gotten a lot more stringent on what goes in.
Yeah, I can imagine. Have you done anything with OpenWRT?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay. Looking at a little IoT project where need a lot of I.O. and a lot of Ethernet and USB and other bits and pieces, and there's some very nice router chips out there which are produced in the tens of billions, so the price is very low, and lots and lots of features in there, and they run OpenWRT, so just doing a little bit of evaluation about whether to use one of those devices.
There's like the little pocket router gizmos.
The actual one I'm looking at is for a home router with Wi-Fi and this one's got 5 Ethernet ports on it, but and like about 50 I/O pins as well, plus I think 4 UARTs, USB 2, WAP 2 security on the Wi-Fi. But just for a little chip about half inch square, which costs about $1.
No, okay, I used it on years ago on the Linksys. What was it, WRT54Gs, I think. Actually, it was so popular there, Linksys, when they changed the hardware, actually kept a Linux version for people that were flashing their own stuff on there. But I know you could also run it on Used to be little pocket hotspots you could get, which had a Wi-Fi on one side and a LTE uplink on the other side.
Yeah, there seems to be plenty of. I was just looking through the homepage, and the number of devices that it's supported on is pretty interesting. See you. I see it's like a version of Linux, but you add the bits and pieces you want to use rather than having to install all the
user in your
all the libraries. So looks interesting.
Well, I mean, it is in fact Linux.
Yeah, sorry, I missed that. Terry, you've got your microphone on. Could you turn your mic off, please, Terry?
Yeah, it is Linux. I mean, you just end up building. It's a subset, minimalist type distro.
Okay. Oh well, have a play with that. Yeah. Sorry, Terry. It was just echoing back, and I couldn't hear what Bill was saying. Over to you, Terry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Terry must have Vox on, and the way to change Vox is to go to Tools, Options, Capture, and then pick a Push to Talk button from your keyboard, and then that allows you to talk when you push a key and not talk when you don't push the key.
So I'll try it now. November 8 Alpha Bravo, Terry?
Yes, it's working. Very good.
Thank you guys for helping me set it up correctly. It's been a long time since I've used this particular tool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can one of you guys tell me if you know or not? I don't know. But at one point, there was a discussion about doing a second version of Hermes board through Tapper. Wonder if that's still in the works, and if so, who might be working on it?
Well, I believe we had a plan. Phil, do you know exactly? I haven't heard much about it for, almost a year now. Do you know anything about it, Phil?
As far as I know, yeah, it's not going on. I wasn't able to contribute because of my my current workload, and I know another project has been started, but it's not based on the Hermes board. It's a project which has front panel like a conventional radio, but no, the modifications of the Hermes or the upgrade of the Hermes board didn't go ahead. My main issue was that what was being proposed was an open source version of a radio you buy off the shelf. Now there's an awful lot of features to go on there, but there would be a massive amount of work. We felt the market would be very small. It would just be for enthusiasts, and we thought what was available with the Angelia and Orion boards would probably meet those requirements.
Okay, I do appreciate the information. I have a couple of the old Tapper PCBs and probably about 80% of the components from several years ago. Wondered if it would be worthwhile to go ahead and build one or two of those up.
Well, the Hermes still works. The code's still current. In fact, I'm still writing code for the Hermes board for the guys that are working on high-efficiency EER amplifiers. It's a very nice development environment. So I generally test all the new code on the Hermes board. So yes, it's still supported, and I just checked latest versions up on the GitHub Tapper site. So no reason why not to go ahead. The compiler you'd need to use, you can't use the latest version of the Quartus compiler. You need to download a previous one, but that's explained in the code documentation. But it still runs okay.
All right, Phil, thank you for the advice and the information. I'll go ahead and order the rest of the parts for that board and then start assembling it here. I have some time on my hands and think it'd be a good time to go ahead and get that finished. But if there was another version coming behind it, I didn't want to go ahead and invest the money in finishing the component buy if there was a different board coming. So I do appreciate it. Thank you, Phil.
No pleasure. No, as I say, in fact, I use my main transceiver is the old Atlas bus with you know, Mercury and Penny and all those sort of things, because it's stable, whereas all my other boards have got, you know, other new test code on it. So if I ever need to go on the air, I generally use the Atlas bus system. The other one is Mike AAK's put a link down the bottom there under, if you click on the bottom tab on the bottom of the screen, Open HBSDR, there's the Hermes Light Group, which is a version of Hermes. They're not, from memory, they're not using the ADC and DAC that we used on the Hermes board. They're using, it came off a, maybe a router, I'm not sure, but it performs very well, and it's very cost effective, that board. So I know a lot of people who are interested in using them for transverter use for VA, you know, for VHF and microwave use the Hermes board, but it's got a lot of support and lots of nice features.
Yeah, I do have, I think, a Build 8 version of that board that I got from Steve Heinel. And it works great. I like using it, but would also like to stay current on the Open HPSDR thread. I know you guys are working on a different version of PowerSDR. The Hermes Lite, I don't believe, supports that new protocol. So would like to go ahead and invest in the Hermes if it makes sense.
Yeah, Hermes, understanding is they, there's quite a lot of overhead on the Hermes, on the new protocol, which we needed for the latest replacement for PowerSDR to give us, you know, lots of flexibility. But there is quite a lot of overhead. And the Hermes-like guys decided they'd stick with the existing protocol.
Yeah, this is my understanding, so you've confirmed it. Again, I appreciate the information. I'll go ahead and place a component order for the rest of the components. I think I have, there were some parts on Hermes board that are end of life, but I think I had ordered them already, so hopefully I'm good. I'll finish comparing the BOM and place an order this week. At least I'll try. Thanks again for your help and your advice, Phil, Dave. And I see Mike posted a link to the Hermes Light group, so thanks again for that. I am following that group, Mike, if you're listening still. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Hopefully we can be helpful.